This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Congressman Bill Cassidy, who represents his state's 6th Congressional District. He's a longtime practicing physician. He's a member of the House Education and Labor Committee, which had some jurisdiction in the health care debate, and he's a member of the GOP Health Care Task Force. We want to get his thoughts on the president's health care proposal, as well as what he expects from this Thursday's summit at the White House on this issue. And, Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Hey, Greg, thank you for having me.
What jumped out at you from the president's proposal that he released on Monday?
The American people are concerned about cost. This bill is $100 billion more expensive than the Senate bill that the American people have been saying that they oppose. And the president says is based upon the Senate bill. It seems to me as if the president is not listening to the American people.
Congressman, as I mentioned a moment ago, you're a member of the Education and Labor Committee. One of the things I know that liberals in the House had been upset with in the Senate version of the bill was that the so-called tax on Cadillac plans would have applied to members of organized labor. What's the reality of that in the president's version?
It is unclear. The president, if you will, eases back on the tax on Cadillac plans, but something I read said it's not clear that it will apply to organized labor. We may end up with a tax that applies only to plans not achieved under a collective bargaining arrangement, but from what the president said, it's still not clear from what they have out on the internet.
How close, how you mentioned this is for the most part the Senate bill. Is there any fundamental difference here that the administration could plausibly say is designed to make it more attractive to Republicans?
They increase the amount of subsidies for people who are on at the lower income, and so I think that is their I guess their affordability plea. And they also actually strengthen the waste, fraud, and abuse provisions, taking things from Republicans. But the waste, fraud, and abuse provisions are very small relative to the entire bill. And the subsidies, although everybody is for having greater health care options for those of lower income, they pay for those subsidies with taxes upon the middle class. And so I think net, the answer is no.
We're talking with Louisiana Congressman and Dr. Bill Cassidy. And, sir, from your perspective as a physician, if this bill were to be approved, and it may be in the next 60 days if Harry Reid is accurate in that prediction, what would be the most significant impact on your practice?
I think that it continues the sort of top-down bureaucratic control that we saw in the Senate and the House bills. In one way, that will just continue a trend which has been occurring in medicine, where medicine becomes less patient-focused and it becomes more bureaucracy-focused. As someone who's been caring for the uninsured, I know the only way out of this mess is if we return to making it patient-focused. The more we can drill down on, if you will, the needs and concerns of that patient who comes to see the physician, addressing her specific concerns involving her and the health care, that's the only way we're going to control these costs and improve our outcomes.
Let's talk a little bit about this summit coming up on Thursday. One thing I saw in the headlines the past couple of days is Republicans hoping to get this coalition of physicians that are now serving in Congress, including yourself, to be able to go to this summit. At this point, it's mainly leadership and ranking members on committees. What have you heard from the White House on that?
What I heard today is that the White House will not specifically ask physicians to attend. I do know one of my colleagues from Louisiana, Dr. Charles Bustani, has been invited. Charles is a good man, very knowledgeable. Of course, I would have loved to have gone, but next best would have been Charles, so I'm pleased he's going.
And what do you hope comes out of this? We know that for the most part it's going to look a little bit, I think, like the Republican retreat where the president's up on stage and folks either ask questions or make points. But for the most part, the spotlight's on him. Some of your colleagues have said this is just simply a performance designed to drum up support for his version of reform. Do you sense a genuine opportunity here for an open and transparent dialogue?
You know, Scripture tells us to always be hopeful. So although there's many things that would be suggesting that this will be a lecture and not a conversation, I, by a point of discipline, say I'm going to be hopeful because the American people know we need reform. What they are rejecting is this particular version of reform. If the president, however articulate he is, goes back up and continues to speak to the things that we know are driving up cost, the American people will continue to reject. On the other hand, if he goes back up and he says, I share the Republicans' concern for bringing quality health care at an affordable price, i.e. really control cost, then we're going to have common ground. Because Republicans are about bringing affordable health care, which gives all Americans access to quality care. So if he's willing to meet us there, I'm optimistic that we can come away with something. But, as you say, the bill he has out on the Internet, at least the outlines of it, do not give reason for optimism.
Congressman, the president, I think it was at your retreat, but also some other places as well, where he says that Republican ideas have been heard and have even been implemented into the legislation. And it's now up to the Republicans to embrace several of the Democratic priorities. If you look at either half of that equation, how accurate is that?
Well, he has implemented some things from the Republican ideas, which, of course, for so long they were saying there were no Republican ideas. And now we learn that some of them have been implemented. That's very good. On the other hand, there's a very fundamental difference between the two parties, and that cannot be bridged. One is that the Democratic plan is very bureaucratic, Washington-centric. The Republican alternatives are more patient-centric between the patient and her physician. Now, compromise does not mean surrender. And so there will be some things we could meet halfway, but we're not going to surrender on state control versus patient-centered.
Congressman, another issue that's been part of this whole debate hasn't gotten talked about a lot recently, and that's the abortion language in the bill. The Democrats had to agree to the Stupak language to get their version of the bill out of the House. But now it appears the president is embracing the Senate version, which would allow public funding for abortion and certain health plans. I know you're not the official vote counter for your party, but how do you expect that to influence the vote in the House as they try to approve the Senate bill as is?
Mr. Stupak has continuously said that he has enough votes to, if it's not the Stupak-Pitts amendment, Stupak the Democrat, Pitts the Republican, any legislation which does not include the Stupak-Pitts amendment, Stupak has said he has votes that, when added to the Republicans, could block passage. He is obviously the opposition to this particular issue is bipartisan. If Mr. Stupak is right, then the president's bill is dead on arrival.
We'll keep an eye on that as well as many other issues. Congressman, always great to catch up with you. I'm sure we'll be talking as this debate continues.
Hey, thanks, Greg.
Louisiana Congressman and practicing physician Bill Cassidy represents his state's 6th Congressional District, also a member of the House Education and Labor Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.